looking for clarity on the Ohio State offensive line, this is not the episode of Snap Judgments for you. Welcome to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. It is Tuesday. Tyler Bowen and his lineman meeting with the media after practice. A really hot one out here Tuesday morning. He is Berm. I am Austin Ward. Snappy J time. Ohio State, we got a little bit of a spoiler on Monday from Ryan Day. There's not going to be any clarity. There's no depth chart. The starting positions are up for grabs going into scrimmage number two. The depth is great. Don't know how they're going to line up. Yeah. And Tyler Bowen very much likes it that way.
It's pretty confusing, though, because Ryan Day's like, Austin Saraval's working exclusively at left tackle. And then Tyler Bowen's like, well, he's still working at right tackle. He's doing some inside stuff. He's inside. He's outside. Luke Montgomery, I said, so are you the only guy not rotating? He said, no, I've played all five spots on the line in the last 2 weeks. I've been playing center. I've been playing tackle. I'm like, what is going on? but the one thing that you take away, and this will at least my first impression of this group, Tyler Bowen, Austin Saraval, Josh Padilla, Ethan Anianwa, Philip Daniels, Luke Montgomery, Tegra Shibola, Austin Saraval, who else? Is that it today? Danny Carson Hensman.
Did you say Josh Padilla?
I did.
Okay.
So six different players.
Sorry, right? I didn't know we were just running down the list.
Yeah, that's everyone that talked. But like the one thing I could really take away is that this is a confident group, far more confident than any presumptive six or seven Ohio State offensive linemen have been willing to vocalize in the last couple of years. Like this is a very, like this is six, seven dudes who all had like Paris Johnson level, like, oh, we're good.
We're good. Yeah. And I think that, so I certainly don't mean it as a criticism that Ohio State hasn't got to August 12th and named a starting five. I think it's actually pretty difficult to do so given the depth, given the talent, given the flexibility and versatility, the skill sets of all these players. That's a benefit that they have. And they're normally you'd get to this point, it's like, why can't you get that chemistry? Why can't you name that group so you can build cohesion and get ready for Texas? Like they're like, well, they're so good, they don't have to worry about it. And they also, a number of these guys, Luke Montgomery, Austin Saraval, primarily among that, just went through a year. Carson Hensman, maybe most notably out of all of that group. You had to play multiple positions. And 1 week you had to go try something at guard, and then you moved to center. Or you went through a camp and you're left tackle one day and right guard the next day for Austin Saraval. So I don't think they feel any need individually to know what spot they're in and if they're going to start. Someone like Philip Daniels, you mentioned, you know, he's, I think, only working at right tackle. That was the way that Tyler Bowen described it. We know that Ryan Day's indication on Monday was that Austin Saraval was only at left tackle. It does point you in the direction of, okay, well, what spot does that mean for Ethan Onyanwa? Because it's hard for me to imagine he's not going to have a role for this team, given the changes he's made physically, the way that Tyler Bowen talks about this, you know, different roles he can play. And when Ethan Onyanwa was chatting, I was struck by how many times he talked about his matchups with Edric Houston and Caden McDonald on the interior. And I'm like, okay, well, now I'm spinning down this other road. And you have Luke Montgomery and Tegra Shibola, who I view as pretty entrenched there at guard. Maybe that's not the case. And also, again, maybe that's not a reason to be concerned.
I think both of those things are true. It's certainly not a reason that as a fan people should be concerned. Like, you have really good depth and you have talented players that can play multiple spots, and that's a plus. For the players themselves, I can understand that maybe it's a negative, because after Tegra Shibola and Carson Hensman, let's just use those two as an example, they committed to Greg Studrara as the Ohio State offensive line coach. He was let go 3 days before these guys enrolled at Ohio State. Justin Fry gets hired. He's here for their three years for them.
Yeah.
Now he's gone. Now they have Tyler Bowen and Charles Dickey and Marcus Johnson and four essentially offensive line coaches, because they have other assistants and grad assistants that are working there. Like, and then you go through what you went through last year with all of the position changes, the injuries, guys moving spots. Like, I think these guys would really like to have something settled, but at the same time, I think they all understand, because of how last year went, that this is actually really important to be able to put on display that you're capable of playing multiple spots. And so it probably feels frustrating, you know, especially Tegra Shibola is a prime example of that. This is a guy who moved back and forth between tackle and guard for 3 years. And now he's what we expect to be firmly entrenched as the starter at right guard. And it's like, but maybe not. And like, so how do you as a player come to terms with that? And I think last year's experimentation and the need to move guys around because of injury probably at least makes it easier to justify or to swallow, as opposed to being told, okay, here you are, you're in year four, you're our starter.
Well, there's also, aside from just you know, injury, illness perspective from a year ago, the length and toll of the season and playing a string of high level competition in the trenches is gonna wear you down. Even if you don't get hurt, you're gonna get exhausted. You're gonna get pushed to your brink and be exhausted at times. And we, you know, saw that with some of, even though Tegra Tshibola in late October and November was not hurt enough to leave the lineup, he was certainly worn down, and it was
affecting his play.
And you saw his play dip. And we were, you know, it's another one of those situations where it probably would have been helpful to get a fuller idea of what Tegra Tshibola was working through. Justin Fry talked about that more after the season than in the midst of it. But you got to the Tennessee game, it's like, well, here's why that we might be playing three guards in this game. Okay, is that because of drop in performance, health, you know, toll, physical toll of the course of the year? All the above, it turns out, is the case there. So when Tyler Bowen was asked about that, you know, earlier on Tuesday, it was like, what is your philosophy going to be with rotating guys? Will you play 6, 7, 8 guys in, you know, in the second quarter of a game, maybe not against Texas, maybe against Washington, whatever. But, and he's like, well, we're not to that point yet. Yeah. I think that they will. I think you almost have to in this era of college football.
Yeah, you have to prepare those guys in the eventuality that something happens that forces them to play a lot more snaps. I mean, if you, again, think about Tegra Tshibola, the one thing I've talked about on snap judgments over the last couple of years, I've questioned his confidence and at times, and I think that that's reflected in his play. But then if you remove the fact that he was hurt from that equation, it's easy to question other things. Like, but we didn't know that he was hurt. Yeah. So like you can say, well, his confidence is down, but his confidence is down because he's hurt and he's not, you know, he can't play to his full potential. And so he just said, hey, I went through everything in the last couple of years. I've played a lot of football. Like, I have every reason to be confident. Talking to him today was like talking to a totally different person. And so you start to see these guys really grow up. And Luke Montgomery, I mean, we asked him, he was talking about how at some point during last season, he just got mad that he wasn't playing anymore. And he wasn't playing. And I said, well, yeah, but last spring you told us you weren't ready to play. And so when did that change? And I got the sense that it happened around the time that all of the offensive line shuffling was occurring and he still wasn't going in, that he said, screw this. So he just said, when I get my moment, I'm not gonna make sure I don't give it up.
Yep.
But here we are trying to figure out, like, are you entrenched? He says, I'm playing all 5 spots. Okay, so what does it mean? It means this is a really deep, really talented offensive line group. And I think we all assume there are 4 spots settled, but maybe it's 3.
Austin Saravelle is going to be this team's left tackle. Carson Hensman is absolutely going to be the starting center. I still have a difficult time thinking that Luke Montgomery and Tegra Tshibola are not going to be starting in the opener, but I think maybe that's why scrimmage number 2 is so critical for Philip Daniels and Ethan Onyanwa. If that becomes, this is the last spot that's up for grabs. The part that we just briefly touched on Monday was Ryan Day including Tegra Tshibola in the ability to move out to tackles conversation. And I know that, and I asked Tyler Bowen about this, like, how many reps does somebody need at the primary position? How many do they need at the secondary? So, well, at this point, we're largely past that. You need to be working in your primary spot. Saturday scrimmage is going to have to be about that. So I don't expect that Tegra Tshibola is going to be playing right tackle on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think that Ethan Onyanwa and Philip Daniels will be. And has that become the last piece of this equation that you have to solve?
I think so.
That's where I'm at.
I think I agree. And it comes down to, you know, Tyler Bowen repeatedly said, we need to find out soon. We need to find out. Well, you're the guy making the decision. So I think you can determine when that is the case. So we're 2.5 weeks away from Texas. Like, you're going to have to be locked in and building a room and building a cohesive offense by next Monday. So, like, Saturday seems to be the last hurdle for those guys for sure.
I wanted, it's speculation, maybe he wouldn't answer it this way, to talk about places he's worked previously, but like, I wonder if it's overwhelming at all for Tyler Bowen, because you're never going to, Ohio State specifically over the last decade would not have been in a spot where they could say, these 10 guys, and you asked him about having, are there 4 tackles that could potentially play for this team, including Ian Moore into that group. It's like, what place have you been in where you could go into training camp and be like, you know what would be fun today is let's just see if this left tackle can play right guard and then go do it and then shuffle around all the pieces. Like, it's not an opportunity that many coaches have. And it can be like you're scrolling through Netflix and like, I have too many options here. I can't decide what to watch.
Jim Knowles was asked that question a number of times when he got to Ohio State. Like, you've never had this many toys before. How do you determine when to play with them and which ones are the right ones for any given opportunity in any given circumstance? And traditionally, the offensive line does not allow for that much flexibility / creativity / movement. But it's again, last year happened. And so I think everything has sort of shifted on its axis to realize that you're going to need all these guys. Like, if you want to win a national championship, it's going to be a 16 or 17 game season. So all these guys are going to play. So why spend these first 2 weeks of camp pigeonholing somebody into one spot if last year replicated itself and all of a sudden Donovan Jackson's playing tackle and Carson Hinsman has to go back from guard to center and Luke Montgomery has to go in the playoffs? And like, I don't think you are doing yourself a service if you are only giving them one goal and one objective at this point. So it's Ohio State. Like, these are the best football players in the country. They better be able to handle two things at once, and they're learning that.
I do think that we named the four spots, the ones that we think are pretty secure. The person who I think has made the largest stride since spring or even from day one in practice and training camp is Philip Daniels. I think that is really what has changed that's the domino that's tipped over everything for that group. He deserves a lot of credit for that.
That was the question coming into today, I think a lot of people had when the Austin Saravelle discussion really ramped up on Monday, is this a byproduct of Philip Daniels becoming too good to keep off the field, or is this Ethan Anianwa not living up to the expectations? I did not get the impression that it was the latter. This is just like, hey, find your best five, find your best six. And Tyler Bowen said 5, 6, 7. So I think that extends to 8 or 9, to be honest. And they're all going to play a lot of football. And I know it matters who the starter is, but ultimately it doesn't really matter who the starter is, because if that starter for the Texas game at right tackle is struggling in the first quarter against Colin Simmons or anybody, then the other guy's going to play. And so, you know, it's nice to have an established starting group. But if you have 8 guys that you can view as starters, James Laurinaitis was talking last week about how he feels like he has 3 starters. Like, if you've got 7 or 8, I was surprised. I know he's in his third year, but Josh Padilla getting the chance to be out here and talk to the media matters.
Yeah.
You know, like that's an earned opportunity for Josh Padilla. And so we don't expect him to play a lot this year, but again,
he could.
Tyler Bowen, like, oh, Josh Padilla, he's really given us an option. So there's certainly a lot of guys that are trying to find that opportunity. It's just a weird philosophy shift in football, because 5, 6 years ago, you would have never said, oh, let's just rotate on the offensive line. And now I think you have to.
Yeah. Well, I think things are also going well enough that Carson Hinsman has time to look up trash talk in German so that he can get ready for Hero Canoe and Texas on August 30th. So I think they're on the right track.
They seem to be very relaxed and very confident and learning German.
Yeah, which is everything you could possibly want.
You know, all like most dog trainers train dogs in German.
Yeah.
Which...
most? Is that
a lot, yeah. No, because they do that. So the
I'm just wondering if you knew exactly how many.
I mean, I don't know the percentages, but I've seen a number of dog trainers that they train the dogs in German. And you know why that is, of course. So that other people can't give them commands. But then I think to myself, does no one else know German?
It's a great question.
How do you know? Like, maybe you run into a Portuguese-speaking dog.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's...
I don't know.
A fascinating way to end snap judgments.
Hero Canoe, I hope he's learning some...
Well, he's like
Wisconsin slang terms for Carson Hinsman. Those two are best friends. It's cute.
Well, Carson said he was just going to call Hero Chubby. So, like, maybe he'll just incorporate cheese curds or something into it for Carson. But I don't know. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. And we are 2.5 weeks away from that as camp nears, I don't know the official midway point, but we're in the middle of August and we're getting close to Ohio State and Texas. And the offensive line for the Buckeyes, clearly ready for that challenge, and maybe after Saturday we'll get some clarity on what exactly that front five will look like when the first snap comes at noon, big noon kickoff in the Horseshoe. Another day closer, no availability on Wednesday in the Woody, be back here on Thursday and have some snap judgments with the Ohio State defensive line. So it's been trench week, and we'll have more of that as this week rolls along. Thanks for joining us right here on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, or anywhere that you download audio podcast. We appreciate you very much. He's Berm. I'm Austin. See you later.